This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Okay, we need the important thing in the sugya is to be able to approach it with a fresh mind, unaffected by everything you've seen to date. And the sugya starts on the Zayin Amud Aleph. After the two dots, Rami le Abaya le Rove. Abaya said to ask the following contradiction in Psukim to Rove. Ksiv, it says in the Torah, in Perek Kaf Beis and Shemos, Meitav Sadehu u'Meitav Karmo Yishale, that when a mazik causes damage, he shall pay with the finest of his fields and vineyards. Implying, says Abaya, Meitav in midiacharini loy, that there is only one way to pay with for nezikin, and that is with the finest of property. Implying that the nizak has a right to that. Vahatanya. But did we not learn in a brisa based on another posuk in the previous chapter in Shemos, where it says, the posuk there says, how does the posuk go? Bal habor yeshalem kesef yoshiv lebailav. The owner of the pit shall pay, money he shall hand over to the owner of the animal. Vatanya the Braisa says, Yashiv l'rabuis shove kesef v'afilu subin. That word Yashiv is a ribui. It comes to include more than the posuk would otherwise imply, and that includes subin. Says Rashi, Yashiv kesef yashiv l'bailov the havale l'michtev bal habor yishalim kesef l'bailov. What the posuk should have stated was the owner of the pit shall pay money to the owner of the animal. Yashiv the kosev rachmona l'amali. Why does the Torah insert the strange word yashiv? Hoye luchvar kesev yishalim, since it's already said yishalim, he shall pay. L'rabois kol hashovus, to include all things that are transferable, to include it in what? As payment, as yeshalim. This which it says, bal habor yeshalim, means not only with money, but with anything transferable. If you can now use anything transferable to pay, what about meitav? Why does the other posuk say you must only pay with meitav? Now, before we go any further, what is the Gemara's difficulty? We're now talking about three factors: meitav, kesef, and metaltalin, movable property. What is the Gemara's difficulty with between which of those three? Metaltalin and meitav is the contradiction. Does the Gemara have a problem with meitav and kesef? No, why not? Because? No, that's Rav Huna already, at this point. Why does the Gemara not just ask straight away? Why does it bring the brisa? Why doesn't it just ask the two psukim? One posuk says meitav and one posuk says kesef. The Gemara doesn't ask that. The Gemara says one posuk says meitav and the brisa says not only money but even metaltalin. So that means that on the psukim the Gemara doesn't have a problem. The Gemara only has a problem with the brisa. But on the posuk alone, the Gemara doesn't have a problem. Why not?
Because kesef would have been the payment par excellence. That's the tashlumi. And the chiddush of the Torah is meitav. And it has to come and tell you meitav.
Well, so what Stanley is saying is that the principle is l'shalim. You've got to compensate. You don't have to use money. You can also use meitav. But that you can use subin, that seems to be against the principle of meitav. So that's the way Stanley's learned it. Any other way to learn it? So according to the way Stanley's learned it, the first claim is on kesef. If you don't have kesef, you can use meitav. If you don't have meitav, then you can use metaltalin. That seems to be the root. Any other way of learning it?
Stanley was saying that his proof is in the Rashi and the Mishnah.
Why?
He says,
But it's his option, and according to that Rashi, it's the Mazik's option to pay with karka or money, which then he didn't say.
I said no. The Torah allows it to be his option.
Yes, but the Torah gives it to him as his as his option, not the Mazik's option, not the Nizak's option. That means he can have lots of cash in the bank, but he doesn't have to pay the cash. He can give karka, according to that Rashi on the Mishnah. Any other way of learning this the kashya of Abayas? That the first option is shave kesef. Oh well, one second. Let me just take it what you want to say a step further. If Stanley's right, that meitav that the payment par excellence is kesef. And if you don't have kesef, you can use property provided as meitav. What did we say the ribuy of yoshiv is? That metaltelin is considered as what? It's shave kesef, which is considered as kesef. So what's option number two? Kesef metaltelin, and then karka would be the third. That would be the natural extension of what Stanley said. That shove kesef is better, that even if it's subin, even if it's inferior metaltelin, all your old broken furniture, that's preferable to karka. Which is the way the Rambam learns, or appears to be learning. Ian, does that help? Any other way of learning this, the kasha of Abaya? If the second option is
right.
How do you mean is right?
That means
you can't give karka which is inferior. If you're giving karka, it's got to be superior karka. That's what the Torah says. Right, now let's go on to the next line of the sugya, which is on the next page, on Zion on the base, which is the answer. In the first thick line there, ki ato Rav Popa v'Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yoshua mi'Bei Rav, when Rav Popa and Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yoshua came from the Beis HaMedrash of Rav, Pirshua, they explained it in the following way. Kol mili meitav. Everything is meitav. Who? Dilo mizdabin hacha, mizdabin b'masa achrisi. Because if it can't be sold in one place, it can be sold somewhere else. Everything has a market value somewhere. Lebar me'aro. But land not. Land you can't move. That either buyers where you are or you can't move. There it has to be meitav so that it should be marketable. So what is the chidush of Rav Popa and Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yoshua? Is this the same as Stanley learnt it? Sorry?
This particular point in time, Mechadish to us that provided the goods are negotiable, the payee will be happy.
Okay, so now we notice that it doesn't say that when Rav Popa and Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yoshua came from Beirav, they answered the kasha. What does it say they did? They were mefarish. What were they mefarish? What the word meitav means. The word meitav means negotiable to the maximum degree. Once you understand that, then everything is negotiable except bad property. That's how Rav Huna b'Rei. So then it comes out that what is the ribuy of shove kesef? Kesef yishalim lebailo. Kesef yishalim, how does it go? Kesef balabor yishalim. Kesef yoshiv lerabos. Kesef yoshiv. What does that yoshiv come to lerabos? Shove kesef. What is it marbe shove kesef to what? But it's marbet to what? To meitav. That's not the way Stanley learns. Stanley said meitav, there are two things you can pay with meitav or with kesef. And metaltelin is considered like kesef. Now we're saying no, you can pay with only one thing. And that's meitav. What is meitav? Money is meitav, metaltelin is meitav, and the finest of property is meitav. Very different. Now the sugi goes on with Rav Huna on Daf Tes.
We
According to the way we've just learned, Rav Huna and Rav Popa and Rav Huna bread Rav Yeshua, we are saying that there's no level of Meitavs. We're saying the principle is you've got to pay with Meitav. What is Meitav? What is Meitav? Kol Mili is Meitav except for poor karka. That's how we've learned it. Now comes Rav Huna. Rav Huna Omar. And that's how the sugya is structured. It's these three things you can almost rewrite them the way we have. The fact that there's other gemara in between doesn't mean that this doesn't all form part of one sugya. The way we've learned it now is the correct continuity. This is all one sugya, at least according to some of the mefarshim. Rav Huna Omar. Now in Hebrew, because there's no punctuation, the positioning of words becomes critically important, and there's a very big difference between Omar Rav Huna and between Rav Huna Omar. At Omar Rav Huna, what does that mean? And you can only, the only way you can really notice that difference is by the tune. What is, when you say Omar Rav Huna, how do you say it? What's the tune? nearly right. Omar Rav Huna, that's how you go. Omar Rav Huna, what is that? No, it's a new thing. Omar Rav Huna said, and that's how you get. That's how the Cheder children are taught the tune. The tune is very important. Omar Rav Huna said, Rav Huna Omar, what's the tune for Rav Huna Omar? Rav Huna Omar! That's how the children are taught in Cheder. Can you realize what an advantage that is if you're taught how to sing the Gemara properly? Rav Huna Omar! That's a different thing altogether. What's Rav Huna Omar? Machlokes. So where's the Machlokes? See, it starts in the middle of a different sugi. All of a sudden, Rav Huna Omar! That's because we're going back on the previous thing. That's why Rashi says that this must be going back on the beginning. When Rav Popa and Rav Huna bred Rav Yeshua came back from Beirav Pishua, called Milimetavu, Rav Huna Omar, but Rav Huna said, Oi Kesef Oi Metav. Either Kesef or Metav. What does that mean? That Kesef is not Metav. This is back to the way Stanley learned it, Bepashtis. Oi Kesef or Metav. There are two different things. There's such a thing as Kesef and there's such a thing as Metav. Two different ways of paying. Ask the Gemara. So what are you going to do with the brisa that we had on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, where you can pay even with Shove Kesef? Afilu Subin, even if it's not Metav. Achadumayaskinen, says Rav Huna, you've got to say Bidalesle. That's only where he can't use any other form of payment. He's got no karka, he's got no Kesef, so what's he got? He's only got broken furniture, so he's got to pay with his broken furniture. Obviously, what, we're going to let him off because he's got no karka or kesef? Answer the Gemara, no. Ma'u the same amrin and lezil torach zovin vaisile kesef. I might have thought that we obligate him to go and sell and to pay with money. Why might I have thought that? Yeah, but it's to pay with the things. Why are you getting it? So what do we see from this Havamina? I might have thought that he's got to go and sell. So what must I say therefore? That the primary payment is Kesef. The primary payment is Kesef. Metav, because it's so marketable, is an option. If he hasn't got Kesef and he hasn't got Metav, then he doesn't have Kamashwal and Kamsichas. He can pay with, even Subim have got a market value. He doesn't have to go and sell it. He is compensating by giving that value, even though it's not in cash. But this is now learning the way we've just translated this. This is exactly the way Stanley wanted to learn the Gemara before we came onto Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. That Kesef is the prime payment, Meitav is an alternative, and Yashiv L'Rabbi Shove Kesef, that if you haven't got ready cash, you can use something which can be converted into ready cash. Says Rashi, Rav Huna Omar, Loi kashya kroi dila el. Rav Huna says the psukim are not a problem. Now we know the psukim are not a problem. Based on the perish of Rav Huna bread, Rav Yeshua and Rav Popa, the psukim aren't a problem anymore. So why do we start again with the psukim are not a problem? So he doesn't hold of that perish of Meitav. Whereas Rav Huna and bread Rav Yeshua and Rav Popa defined Meitav as negotiability, and therefore Kesef is the most Meitav of all. Rav Huna doesn't accept that. and therefore the psukim become a problem again. How are you going to solve the problem? Kesef u'meitav, kesef u'meitav, dachi ki omar achmola. Oy kesef yitain loy, or meitav sadoisov. Either money or meitav sadoisov. That's all we need in that piece of Rashi. The rest of the Rashi goes on to discussing why the Gemara went on to all these different things in between. Shove kesef, at amris kesef. The Braisa says that shove kesef may also be used, and you said dafke kesef. When may he use shove kesef? Only if he has neither kesef nor sodus. The two preferred means of payment are either meitav or kesef. If he doesn't have meitav or kesef, then shove kesef is like kesef. It can be used in lieu of kesef, but it's not meitav. So the Pashtus, there's a machlokes, Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Huna. The first view holds, Rav Popa and Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, it holds that in the definition of meitav, meitav means negotiability, and therefore kesef is the ultimate, but so is everything except bad property. Whereas Rav Huna holds, no, meitav is only is a term used only with fields, and then there's kesef, and anything which has value fits into the category of kesef in the absence of kesef. With absence of kesef or fields. Yeah. Yeah. And you can go on to metaltel even if you have sode which is not made of. So that of course depends on the previous sugyas. B'shaloy lomim shomin or b'shaloy in shomin. How do we come out? What did we paskin? If it's b'shaloy in shomin, then even one field is his made of. It's very sharp, but not to what we're going to be doing now. So it's very, but it's an important part of the sugya. Yeah, sure we need it. Sure we need it. I'm just not going into that aspect of the sugya. Now the Tosfos. Rav Huna Omar Oy Kesef Umeitav. Pirush HaKuntres Shebo Letaretz Kroy Dileel. Explains Rashi that Rav Huna is coming to explain the difficulty of the psukim on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, which immediately implies that he's disagreeing with Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Popa, because according to Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Popa, there is no difficulty with the psukim. But tzorich loyimar, and if that is the case, then you have to go on to say shulu hispik l'saim dvorav ad sheik shulu, that the continuation, you then have a difficulty in the Gemara, because then, if he's going on that, how could he have meant, or how could he have omitted reference to shove kesef? That's the whole thing. That's the kasha was on shove kesef. How can you say oh kesef or meitav and not mention shove kesef? So you've got to say that Rav Nachman interrupted him in the middle of his sentence. That he was busy explaining and Rav Nachman interrupted him. Which is difficult to say. That's why Tosfos doesn't like Rashi. Because that's how it happened. And why even record it that way? Why not just leave out? All you have to do is leave out Rav Nachman's objection. It's very difficult to say that that's what it is. That's Tosfos' difficulty with Rashi. Ve'it the Garsi, and some have a different gisa. Omar Rav Huna, not Rav Huna Omar, but Omar Rav Huna. In which case it does not refer back to that machloikas, because this is an independent statement. Omar Rav Huna, and we start straight from the Mishnah. It's got nothing to do with the previous sugi. V'koya amas nisim detanya b'meitav oritz. The Mishnah says meitav. Rav Huna explains, not dafke meitav, but kesef also. That doesn't come to exclude kesef. When it says in the Mishnah that you've got to pay with meitav, that doesn't come to exclude kesef. Of course you can pay with kesef if you want. That's how some of the Gersoras are. No, then Rav Nachman isn't the problem. Then you can ask, Rav Nachman can ask his question. Then it's not a kash as to why did you leave out shove kesef, because he wasn't relating to Dav Zayin with Aleph. Uvasefer Rav Alphas Pirish. And the Rif learns the Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua v'Rav Popa Dileel Pligi Ad Rav Huna. He learns that there's a machlokes between Rav Yeshua v'Rav Popa and Rav Huna de Hocho. The In Hu Savri, they hold Kol Mili Meitav Hu, that everything is Meitav V'Afilu Subin v'Rav Huna Sovar Deloyavi Meitav Ela Oy Kesef Oy Karke. Is that the way we learn Rav Huna? No. So the Rif is a little different. The Rif wants to say that Rav Huna is saying, is when he says, oi kesef, oi meitav, it means that kesef and meitav are both meitav. doesn't mean either kesef or metav. It says what Rav Huna means is when it says metav, that includes kesef. Kesef is also metav. Now, when the Tosfos says that the Rif or the Sefer of Alphas Pirish, that there's a machlokes, what does he imply? That up till now, that we haven't been introduced to the possibility of machlokes yet. But what does Rashi hold? We learned Rashi clearly that he held that there is a machlokes. But the way Tosfos, Rashi isn't a machlokes. Do you understand why I'm saying that? Because the first time Tosfos introduces the possibility of machlokes is in the Rif, and he's already quoted Rashi. That's what makes me think so. We've learned Rashi that there's a machlokes, must be a machlokes, because if you learn like Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua, then there isn't the problem with the psukim. If he says they're coming to answer the psukim, that means he's not learning like Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua and Rav Popeh. But Tosfos doesn't seem to learn that way. It's possible, we need to be open to that possibility, that Tosfos is learning that there, according to Rashi, there's no machlokes. Ufosak Rav Popeh uCheRav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua Shehem Batroi, and the Rif paskins like Rav Popeh and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua because they are the latter authorities. So he paskins like Tav Zayin. What's the nafkemina lahalocha? What does it mean he paskins? What's the nafkemina lahalocha? According to the Rif between the two views, what's the nafkemina? They hold that you can give whatever you want. It's all metav.
No matter what you've got.
And Rav Huna would hold that metav, that you've got to give kesef or karka, and that metaltalin is only an option in the absence of kesef and karka. V'Rabbeinu Tam ein sover ke. And Rabbeinu Tam does not hold that way. What way? What is Rabbeinu Tam cholek on? What aspect of the Rif? He doesn't say Rabbeinu Tam ein posek ke. Although he could say that, Rabbeinu Tam ein sover the halacha k'Rav Huna, it could still work. Oh, so he's arguing. Let's have a look and see them. So you want to say he does not hold that they argue? That's better. But Rabbeinu Tam, the Rif holds that they argue with one another. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't hold that they argue with one another. The Mefarish Yesh Gimel Dinin Benizokin, because he says there are three different halachas in Nizokin. Or kesef, or metav, ilesle afilu subin. It's either kesef or it's metav, and if he hasn't got kesef or metav, then even subin. Who's that learning like? Have we learned that way yet? That's the way Stanley wanted to learn Rav Popeh. That's the way Stanley wanted to learn, not Rav Popeh. That's the way Stanley wanted to learn the original case, which is like we learned Rav Huna. So that's just how we're learning. That's like we learned Rav Huna, not like the Rif learns Rav Huna. So Rabbeinu Tam seems to be learning Rav Huna the way we learned it, and paskening like Rav Huna. You can't pasken like Rav Huna. He's not a Basroi. He's not the after one. So you must say that Rabbeinu Tam holds that there's no machlokes. So then according to Tosfos, if we write in our diyukim, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi form one group in that there's no machlokes between them. There's no machlokes. Is Rashi like Rabbeinu Tam in anything else? Notice it's Anthony Rashi says bidales le loy kesef beloy sodos, not beloy metav. You see that? It doesn't say metav sodos there, yeah. So any field. It's not clear from Rashi how he explains Rav Huna. But one thing seems clear is that Rabbeinu Tam holds, according to Tosfos, that there is no machlokes between Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua and Rav Popeh on the one hand, and Rav Huna on the other hand. But he learns Rav Huna differently to the way the Rif learns him. Up till there, the next part of Tosfos is a different subject. Now let's learn the Rosh.
Ravuna Omar Oy Kesef Omeitav, about 10-12 lines from the bottom of the first column. Rav Huna Omar Oy Kesef Omeitav Perish Rashi Shebo Letaretz Kroy Dileel. He's coming to explain the psukim from before. V'lo hispik l'sayim dvorov ad shehikshu lo Rav Nachman. And he didn't have a chance to finish what he was saying until Rav Nachman interrupted him. So he incorporates Tosfos's Tzorich Loimar into Rashi. V'az omar le dekroy hachim mitarzi. And then he explained that this is what the psukim mean. Im ein lo kesef o meitav kol mili meitav hu. Strange saying. If he doesn't have kesef, or he doesn't have meitav, meaning property, then anything is considered meitav. Why? Is his meitav? Yeah, that's probably how it would come out. But b'shaloihin shamin, since it's b'shaloihin shamin, and he hasn't got anything else, that's his meitav. But it's not that that metaltonin is normally meitav. What's wrong with Rabbeinu Tam? There's kesef and there's meitav. V'yiles le'afilu subin. Then subin is also counted as kesef. I suppose memonoshach. If subin is counted as kesef, then why can't you use it even if you've got money? So you want to say that subin is not counted as kesef. If subin is not counted as kesef, how can it be used when you've got nothing else? Why don't you have to change it for money? So you can say that then it becomes meitav. Strange that it should become meitav, but that's the only way to take it. That b'shaloi henshamin. Yeah. Difficult. Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that it's meitav. Doesn't mean that it's meitav. If you haven't got meitav, then you can pay with metaltin. It doesn't mean that the metaltin. Sorry. Yeah, the question is why? What forces him to read that into it? That's not. There's no necessity to read that into the words of the Gemara. That's the difficulty. But let's carry on. Meanwhile, v'loy matzi omar lezil torach bezovin. Here you give the Rosh gives his answer. What you're forced, you need to come onto that, because otherwise, how do you explain that v'loy matzi omar lezil torach bezovin? Hitaka should go. If the main thing is kesef, in other words, if the reason he can use metaltalin is because metaltalin is like money, but the main thing is he's using it as money, then we should say go and sell it and bring the money. Why give the metaltalin? The only precedent we have for giving a person an object instead of money is meta. So if Shove Kesef, if we don't make him sell it, then it's not Kesef. If we don't make him sell it, then it's Metav. Now again, let's start again in the Rosh. V'az Omale, the previous line, V'oz Omale, then he told him the following. Then he says to him the following, the Kroyochi Metarzi, that this is how you need to learn the Psukim. Now this is the Rosh learning Pshat in Rav Huna. Im ein loy kesef o meitav. So how does the Rosh learn Rashi in Rav Huna? Is kesef meitav or isn't it? No. Im ein loy kesef o meitav. There are two ways of paying. What's the problem? They want what? If they don't have kesef or meitav, so you see already from the Rosh that they're two separate things. So he's not learning like the Rif, and he's not learning like we wanted to learn originally. He's learning much more like Rabbeinu Tam in a sense, right? That there's kesef and meitav are separate. And if he has neither kesef or meitav, kol mili meitav hu, then metaltalin becomes meitav. Why? How do you know that that's the pshat? Because v'loy matzi omar lezil torach v'zovin. Because we don't force him to sell. If the reason you could use metaltalin is because metaltalin is in lieu of kesef, we should make him sell it for kesef. Because the only option, in other words, when we say kesef or meitav, what we're saying is you can use cash or you can use something called meitav. Right? If you're going to use something which is not cash, it has to be meitav. So the only way you can use something which isn't cash is if it's meitav. So now by allowing him to use metaltalin, what must we be saying? That metaltalin is metav. If metaltalin is metav, why only bidalesle in Ravuna? So you've got to say metaltalin becomes metav when he's got nothing else. Then it switches into metav. That's the best of his properties. So metav becomes very subjective. But if he has kesef or proper metav, he's not allowed to give him shove kesef. So the Rosh has learned pshat in Rashi. We searched in Rashi and we missed it. But we searched in Rashi, we wanted to see, does Rashi hold like Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't he? And we missed it. We couldn't find any hechrich in Rashi. The Rosh finds it. He finds it firstly in the wording of Rashi, when Rashi says, if you look, hold your finger on the Rosh and get back to the Rashi. Rav Huna Omar loy kash yikroy di le'el kesef u'metav, the hachi ka'omar achmona, oy kesef yitein loy, or metav sadoisov. Metav sadoisov is one concept, kesef is another concept. The two have nothing to do with each other. There are two different forms of payment. You can use metav, or you can use sode. That's it. You can use kesef, or you can use metav. And only if he lacks both kesef and metav, then you can use metaltalin. Asks the Rosh, are you using metaltalin in its capacity as shove kesef, or in its capacity as metav? It must be one of the two, because the Torah only allows you to pay with one of those two, either kesef or metav. Asks the Rosh then, when you're allowed to pay with metaltalin, that is, when you don't have money or you don't have property, are you paying with metaltalin as money or as property, as metav? Says the Rosh, if you were paying as kesef, you should have to sell it and bring the kesef. Why be allowed to play with metaltalin in lieu of kesef? Kesef is kesef, and if you've got metaltalin, sell it and bring the kesef. So you must say it's in lieu of metav, not in lieu of kesef. If it's metav, why can't you use metaltalin in the beginning? Why do you have to go through the whole procedure? Because it only becomes metav if you've got nothing better. Why b'shaloi and shomen, and then we come onto that on that whole thing there. That's how the Rosh learns Rashi. Yashiv l'rabos. What does that mean, l'rabos? Not l'rabos that it's tashlumin, but that l'rabos it's to metav, which is a strange way of learning. But that's how Rav Huna wants to learn. Yeah, so if you look back at Zion with Aleph, so look how Rav Huna would be handling that is as follows. Look at Zion with Aleph. Rami le'abay le'rove k'siv metav sadeo metav kama yushalv metav in midyacharini lo'i v'atanya yoshiv le'rabi shove kesef. Now, we noted, we were murdered at the beginning, that the Gemara has no difficulty with kesef. Even though it says metav, the Gemara doesn't ask, that's a contradiction. One posuk says metav, one posuk says kesef. Why? So Stanley answered, because kesef is the ultimate. Metav is only if you... it's a chiddush already that you can use metav if instead of kesef. But yashiv l'rabbi shove kesef, where does that fit in? So Rav Huna learns not to say that shove kesef is like kesef. Not to say that, but to say that shove kesef is like metav. That's what the posuk comes to teach you. There's no havamina that it's like kesef. Now this is a big nafkamina lahalochi in many areas. This is one of the things that I want to go in on Wednesday. Can you use metaltalin to be mekadesh a woman if you have money? Very important shaila. Man standing under the chuppah, and good. So let's say the gold ring. Let's say that's considered kesef. But let's say he hasn't got kesef. All he's got is a kiddush. He's got a becher made from gold. Heavy thing, pure 18 karat gold becher. What are we going to say? One second, if you've got kesef, you can't use shove kesef. So there's a big daf kemin el halacha. That's a whole discussion and another sugya. And the Avne Miluim uses this sugya to prove his point. Becomes the whole thing becomes very fascinating. That's why it's a pity to leave a sugya like this without getting down to the essence of it, which is the relationship between money, meaning cash, metaltalin and karka, but particularly cash and metaltalin. Is movable property simply interchangeable with money or not? Now the way the Rosh is learning in Rashi is not. It's got nothing to do with money. There's such a thing as cash and property. Property should be sode in this case. If you don't have soda and you don't have cash, we'll consider metaltalin like metav of property. Now, is it possible, before we even go any further, is it possible that that's what Rav Huna bre Rav Yeshua and Rav Popa hold? Is it possible? It is possible. So how will we learn it in their words? Let's have a look at them. Rav Zion Amud Beis. This understanding in Rashi. Alright, so let's look now. Ki at Rav Popa v'Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua mibei Rav Pirshua. Kol mili meitav. Really, any property is meitav. The Lord is Dabin Och, is Dabin Matachvita, the Bar Mi'ara, the Lesiv Lemi Meitav, Kechi, the Likputzalos Vino. Really, he says the concept of Meitav can be applied to everything. So Meitav could be everything. The Torah says Meitav Sadeh. Doesn't just say Meitav. So there's a Gzeras HaKosuv that if you've got property, you've got to use property. Or cash. But if you don't have property or cash, movables also fall into Meitav. In other words, we could then learn that the Gzeres HaKosev is not Meitav. The Gzeres HaKosev is Meitav Sadeu. So either Meitav Sadeu or Kesef Yishalim. But says Rav Huna bre Rav Yeshua and Rav Popa, that doesn't mean that the movable is not Meitav. Movable is also Meitav. It's not Meitav Sadeu, but it's Meitav. So if you haven't got Meitav Sadeu and you haven't got cash, use other Meitav. It still falls into the category of Meitav. So that's the way we could learn Rav Huna bre Rav Yeshua. So do you see the way the Rosh has learned Rashi? There's no machlokes between Rav Huna bre Rav Yeshua and Rav, which is exactly what we noticed in Tosfos, but we didn't know how to do it. We noticed from the words in Tosfos that he holds that Rashi is not cholek, that Rav Huna according to Rashi is not cholek with Rav Huna bre Rav Yeshua and Rav Popa, but we didn't know how to learn Pshat in Rashi. The Rosh has taught us how to learn Pshat in Rashi. In a way which is not an arguably chore, that's what Rashi is saying. And that's how Tosfos understood Rashi.
Doesn't it come out now that Meitav is the Tatkila from the Beira and the Yehudah?
Now it will come out that there's no machlokes, no? It will come out that according to everybody, your option according to the Torah is Kesef or Meitav Sodeh. However, if you can't have Kesef or Meitav Sodeh, you can use other Meitav. Still falls into the category of Meitav Sadeu, and there then will be no preference. What about Rabbeinu Tam? How does Rabbeinu Tam fit into all this? Could this be Rabbeinu Tam's view too? So firstly, does Rabbeinu Tam hold that there's a machlokes Rav Huna bre Rav Yeshua and Rav Popa, and Rav Popa on the one hand and Rav Huna on the other? No. So on that he could be the same. What does he say? La halachim Rabbeinu Tam en so veken the mafarish is gimel dinim nizok. Or kesef or meitav. Is kesef meitav? No. So far it's the same. The ilesle afilu subin. And if he doesn't have, then the third halacha is that metaltalin can become meitav if you don't have anything else. Could be. So the way the Rosh has learned Rashi, it could be the same view as Rabbi Natan. The Islay Kesef says the Rosh, meitav lo yitem lo yishove kesef. Now, strange word in the Rosh. Strange word in the Rosh. The chen kosov Rav Alfas, and so Rav Alfas wrote as well. The Rav Popa, Rav Huna bre Rav Yeshua, pligia the Rav Huna de Hocha, the Savri, the whole millimeter vu vafil subin, ufosa k Rav Popa, Rav Huna bre Rav Yeshua, the inun basroi. So what does the Rosh say? That the Rif holds like Rashi. And it is a machlokes. That the Rif holds that Rav Huna bre Rav Yeshua and Rav Popa argue with Rav Huna, and they hold that everything is metav, even subin. So he learns, how is the Rosh learning in the Rif? That what do Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Popa mean? That Subin is always Metav, and that Rav Huna disagrees and holds that Subin is only Metav when there's nothing else. Uposak Rav Popa, Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, Dinun Basroin, he paskins like them because they are the later ones. V'Rabbeinu Tam posak Rav Huna. And Rabbeinu Tam paskins like Rav Huna. Do we put these brackets in or not? Bid Islay. Does that bracket come in or doesn't it? You don't need it. You don't need the brackets. If you paskin like Rav Huna, then it automatically means only Bid Islay. The Chosov B'Sefer HaYoshor, and he writes in the Sefer HaYoshor, which is Rabbeinu Tam's Halacha Sefer, Shloisho Dinin B'Firoin B'Nizokin, Oy Kesef, or Metav, K'Rav Huna B'De Isle, either Kesef or Metav, like Rav Huna, where he's got Kesef or Metav, V'Ilesle, Kol Mili Metavu. See how the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam differently from Tosfos. And if he doesn't, then everything is made of. So Rabbeinu Tam, he is learning like Rashi, isn't he? That Subin is elevated to Meitav if he doesn't have anything better. So what we weren't sure of in Tosfos, the Rosh, in other words, is Rabbeinu Tam holding like the Rosh learns Rashi? The Rosh says clearly, the Rabbeinu Tam is holding like he learns Rashi. The only thing is, he holds that there's a machlokes between the school of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam on the one hand, and the Rif on the other hand. Whereas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam learn that there's a double machlokes, isn't there? On the question of Subin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam form one group, and the Rif a second. On the question of whether there's a machlokes between Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Huna, Rashi and the Rif form one group, and Rabbeinu Tam forms another group. That's how he learns. I just want to see if there's any more of the Rosh that we're going to need. He then goes on to explain why Rabbeinu Tam doesn't feel it necessary to paskin like Rav Popa and Rav Huna, even though they're Basroi. Because he holds that there's no machlekes. Let's just look at that quickly in the Rosh on the second line on the next column. And the reason for which Rabbeinu Tam does not feel obliged to paskin like Rav Popa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, the Inun Basroi, who are the later authorities, Sorich Leima the Sova the Loi Pligi Ad Rav Huna. You've got to say that they're not chilek. And that they simply came to answer the psukim. You don't have to give him the best of your metaltalin. Any metaltalin are considered metav in the absence of property and cash. So Rav Huna is merely explaining Rav Popa Breid, Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Popa. Ula Olam in Mikro Yotze Midei Pshuto, and the Psukim can be left simply that you've got to pay Kesef or Meitav Sodeu. If you don't have Kesef or Meitav Sodeu, then there's the Drush of Yoshiv that you can play with Metaltali. And Dichtiv Meitav Sodeu Yishalim, V'yiles Le Boi Le Meisav Le Zuzi, V'chesef Nami Kemeitav, Meitav Le Zuzi, V'chesef Nami Kemeitav, Dichtiv Kesef Yoshiv Le Bailav. And Kesef is like Metav. There's a lot in this Rosh that we've got to analyze. You see what he's saying here? That Rabbeinu Tam holds that Kesef is like Metav. Inami, the alternative way is Pligi Ahadadi. That there is a machlokes even according to Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rosh is prepared to be open in Rabbeinu Tam to two possibilities. Either that he's holds that there is a machlokes or that there isn't a machlokes. Umi dekover Rav Ashi Shinuya de Rav Huna Bachroina. And since Rav Ashi brings Rav Huna lost, The iu kodim Rav Popo Rav Huna Bred Rav Yoshua, even though he was earlier than Rav Huna Bred Rav Yoshua, Chashiv Leike Rav Ashi, the editor of the Gemara, considered the answer of Rav Huna to be the main one. Okay, let's summarize what we've got, and then Imirtz Hashem on Wednesday, I'll take it further with those of you who want to go further. So we've got here three views, or three clear views. We've got Rashi, we've got the Rif, and we've got the Rosh. We've got Rashi, we've got the Rif, and we've got Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi, we have had explained by the Rosh, so we're learning Rashi as the Rosh learned Rashi. That is, what's the important element in the Rosh's Pshat in Rashi? That Kesef is not Meitav, and that Shove Kesef is not Kesef. Shove Kesef is elevated to Meitav, not to Kesef. Right, so Rashi holds there's Kesef and there's Meitav. If you don't have Kesef and Meitav Sode, then Meitav Metaltalin is also good. But it falls into the category of Meitav, not into the category of Kesef. We ourselves said that could be what Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua learns. And that seems to be the way the Rif is learning. That seems to be the way Tosfos is learning. Because we noted in Tosfos that Tosfos does not seem to acknowledge a machlokes. Sorry, led us to that conclusion? The way he quoted the Rif. Okay, so Tosfos, in quoting Rashi, puts him in the position where Rashi learns that there's no machlokes between the two of them. The way the Rosh explains Rashi, we can understand that's quite feasible. Although the Rosh himself doesn't learn that way. The Rosh holds that there is, that according to Rashi, there is a machlokes between the first lot and the second lot. The same as the Rif. So the Rosh puts Rashi with the Rif, and Tosfos puts Rashi against the Rif. Rabbeinu Tam, the Rosh holds open. Either is learning like that there is a machlokes, or is learning that there isn't a machlokes. He has two ways of learning Rabbeinu Tam. So that's where we have it at the moment. A machloikes, Tosfos, and the Rosh as to how to learn Rashi, and the Rosh himself bringing two ways to learn Rabbeinu Tam. The other important things that we need to see on the sugya is Rabbeinu Chananel, that you've got on your page. Rabbeinu Chananel is altogether a fascinating thing. And after Rabbeinu Chananel is the question of the Rambam. It's not at all clear how the Rambam holds and the Shulchan Aruch. So really what we want to do is to get to Halacha. And to get to Halacha, we're going to have to go through the Rambam and we're going to have to go through Shulchan Aruch. Those are the things that I would want to do on Wednesday. Because once we've got the Halacha clear, then we'll... once we've got the Halacha clear, we'll understand the Rosh a lot more clearly too. Interesting, I didn't notice that in the Rosh. It says Mashallah Posak Rabbeinu Tam, yeah. He learns the Machlokes on a different point. Depends how far Rabbi Lemon gets now. What's Rabbi Lemon going to do now? From where?
From Rabbi Lemon. Going to the end of the bottom of the page.
So you're going to move further ahead, yeah. So we should try and finish this one. The Rif is not necessarily going on that Gersa. What Gersa does the Rif have in fact? Doesn't he bring it? Doesn't he bring it?
Yeah,
he brings it earlier. No, he doesn't bring it. Doesn't bring it. But on this Sugi, he doesn't bring it at all.
Yeah, he brings it.
No, earlier.
He brings it earlier,
but he doesn't actually quote Rav Huna as such. He just says it is clever. No, he doesn't bring it, so he brings it here instead. Up above the Kligi Rav Huna. So the pashtus would be that the Gersa of the Rif was Rav Huna Omar, same as our Gersa. If it's a machlokes, if he says the first it's a machlokes, the pashtus would be that the Rif has argued so. Not the use of Tosfos.
The conclusion is that we had a problem that Rav Huna seems to say something good in a Kurdish, and he's asked a question and then he says something else. And Tosfos is forced to say.
He's interrupted. Rashi was interrupted.
But if Rav Huna came chronologically before the others, why must he. He doesn't have to add a Kurdish to what they said, they came after him. Why can't he just. Maybe that's what happened, and we found out how he helped to solve the question.
So, one step further. Maybe this is not by all those who commit for potomimus. For example, if a person is busy putting up the sukkah, no tuda, and an oni comes and asks for tzedakah, he's put his money in his pocket, he just has to take the money out of his pocket and give to the tzedakah. Is it potter or not? According to the Rav Haigon, he's certainly not potter. There's no tuda. The mitzvah, there's no tuda. According to the Rashbol, it would seem the pashtus is potter, like Kleinis is Amona. I want to suggest now, maybe no, maybe he's only potter from Kriyishma, but from other mitzvahs he's not potter. Why would he be potter from Kriyishma? Maybe we already had such a yisoid. Mm-hmm. Sorry? Yeah, because of Arai. Because of Arai, we've had such a yisoid already, that even if it doesn't distract your kavona, you can't do two things at once with Kriyishma. You can't even walk, you can't pace the floor while you're saying Kriyishma. Why not? Because of Arai, not because of Kavon. If that's the Yisoid, maybe the Rashbol learns the whole Yisoid as Hilchus Kriyishma, not as Hilchus Mitzvah in general. And that's why it's Taka in, it's B'shivtu Chobu V'Secho, V'lech Tuchob Adech, it's in the Halachos of Kriyishma. Maybe it's not a binyan after all other mitzvahs. And the reason is also Arai, the reason is not also Yisoid Mitzvah Potem and Mitzvah. There's no such thing as Yisoid Mitzvah Potem and Mitzvah. If you can do them both, you have to do them both. If you can't do them both, you can do. And there's a Ptura bonus. I'm busy with one. That part is yours oinus. But this is a special tour that even if you're not Torah with a mitzvah, since by saying Krishna at the same time it would make it a rai, that you don't have to do. And what about if you could stop doing the first mitzvah and do the second one? Stop doing the first mitzvah and say Krishna. Why not that? Maybe that you have to do. After the Kodesh, you're busy marrying, so you can't stop the chuppah in the middle. Maybe. Might be a din in Krishma, according to the Ashbar, I don't know. But that's the machlokes. So we've got a machlokes, a basic machlokes, Rashbon and Rav Haigon. We noticed Rashi in Sukkah learning like Rav Haigon, and Rashi in Brochus learning like the Rashbon. The Rambam Paskins like Rav Haigon. And we've made a he'ora that maybe the Rashbol learns this is a halacha in Kriyishma Dafke, not a general halacha that even if you're not Torah in the mitzvah you're potter, but Dafke by Kriyishma, even if you're not Torah, because in Kriyishma there's an inyan of Arai, and you're not Chayiv. So Kriyishma, although it would seem then that you would have to stop saying your first mitzvah, you just have to stop doing your first mitzvah and do this and say Kriyishma alone. Maybe, I don't know.
So how
do
we come after the Sukkah then?
According to the Rashbol. According to the Rashbol, it could be that you're potter. You're oisig l'mitzvah. The question is, are you potter only from Kriyishma, or are you potter from all mitzvahs? So it would also explain nicely why this comes in the same Mishnah, why it all follows on. The whole subject of the sugya is Kriya Sarai. That's what the whole sugya is dealing with, according to the Rif, anyway. They're sitting in the sukkah now. There's no tzur. Because you're not oisik. There's no isuk at all.
But
the same as when you're reading tzitzis, you're not potter.
You said Rav Haigon says that you must be busy with the mitzvah. So what's
the difference? According to Rav Haigon, you have to be torud, and according to Rashbo, you have to be osuk. But if you need a torud nor osuk, there's no havamina that you're potter from mitzvahs.
Then you need either one according to Rav Haigon.
No. Torud b'mitzvah? You need Torud b'mitzvah? According to Rav Haigon, no. You need Torud b'mitzvah. If you're not Torud b'mitzvah, you're chayev. No matter what you do.
And if you're busy doing the mitzvah?
Chayev. If there's no tzedakah. According to Rav Haigon. That's how it would come out.
let's do the next mission a little bit. Rochatz Laila Harishon, this is a continuation of Raman Gamliel, Shemeso Ishter. He used to take a bath the first night after his wife died, he was already bathing. Omru lo Talmidov lamadatanu Rabbeinu she'ovel osu lirchitz. Did you not yourself teach us that an ovel is not allowed to wash? Omru lehem eini kisha'ar b'nei Odom, he said, I'm not like others. Istinis ani, I'm an istinis. Says Rashi, Rochatz Laila Harishon, Shemeso Ishter. And she was buried on that same day. And even though an oval is not allowed to wash, he washed. Because he said he's an istinis. That's a person. I don't know how to translate. Accustomed to pleasure and luxury. That's what Rashi says. Says Tosfos. Let me first do a Rashbo with you. Have any of you got a Rashbo in front of you? A Rashbo on our. Have you still got a first out of that Rashbo on our sugya? Yes, I think it's that same page we did Lotan a long time ago. It's page 10 of the Rashbo. Before we leave the previous sugya, we were left with one kasha on Rashi, which we've left, but we need to just remember to define it. What was that? Yeah, that Hukshul Derech. We've left that as a difficulty. Says the Rashbo, V'mokum Istanis Legozer Rabbonim, Kosov Rabbeinu Haigon Zal. Got it? Second last paragraph. Not anybody who wants to claim Istanis do we listen to. Okay, I can't learn that I'm an Istanis. We don't listen to him. Aval Vadai Megalia Milse Daho Yinishmi Kora the Ispeho Milse im Eno Reuchets Boli De Sakona. But if it's a well known fact from before the Avelis, you can't suddenly become an Istanis when you become an Ovel. But if it was well known before he became an Ovel that he was an Istanis, and that he used to come to Sakona if he didn't have a bath. So he would never go camping, and whenever he would go away, he would check that he has a bath himself. If we have a record that that's the way this person always did, but if he used to go on camping holidays, and he used to go hiking in the Drakensberg, and all of a sudden comes Avelis and says, Istanis, I've got a bath. That we don't accept. But if we know, we have a record that this person used to come to Sakona without bathing, Roichetz Belailo. Then he can bath in the night time. The dam yelishas hadchak ul refuah, because then it's like shas hadchak and refuah. Then it's like an oynis. So he learns the p'tur of istanis is a kind of an oynis, and therefore you can't just claim it. It has to be something which is a record for.
The meaning of a record, I mean, sure, it's an item in the
market. Ask a shayla. He comes to ask a shayla. He says, "I'm an istanis. Can I bath?" We will answer him no. I'm an Istanis. We'll say, how do you know you're an Istanis? Prove that you're an Istanis. If he says, I never go anywhere without checking, I bath every day, and a day never goes by that I don't bath. And if I, what does he mean he comes to Sakona if he doesn't bath? What happens to him? How ill does he get out of Sakona? Probably depressed, yeah. Probably depression. What other kind of Sakona? From not bathing. We're not talking about a sick person or a person with skin disease. and he needs to bath. That's not what we're talking about. Then it is refuah. What sakana can you come to from not washing? You can't go one day without washing till the next morning. We're talking about, that's all. It means a few hours is going to make a difference. Finds it becomes depressive if he doesn't have a bath. Mishum the istinis vaday bo b'choyli godol mimidazu, because a real istinis comes to terrible illness if he doesn't do this. V'lav kol mi shenog b'nekius besoroi istinis, and not anybody who is clean is an istinis. Don't confuse cleanliness with istinis, he says.
He
says we're clean, we're not istinis. Don't confuse that with istinis. So you're clean, fine, but that's not istinis. Ela kol sheboli de sakono yemein aruichetz. Only those who come to sakono if they don't bath, they are istinis. Ad kan lo shun go and so. That's the go. Says the Rashbo. The Rashbo gives pshat in Rabbeinu Haigon. The loy sakono mamesh koma. And not proper sakona. She'ilu kein, for if it was proper sakona, afil avi aninus laila doraisa roichetz. Then even if aninus laila was doraisa, the Gemara goes on to discuss, it would make the difference whether it's drabona or doraisa. This would be pikuach nefesh. Elo sakonas choili becomes ilka omer, umachmas refua. And the p'tur is refua, not sakonas nefoshes. Ula afuki rechitza de nikiyas, but what Rabbeinu Haigon is trying to avoid is people who want to wash because of nikiyas v'tainuk bilvat, for cleanliness or pleasure. That not. The only rechitza which is allowed for an ovel is for illness, to avoid illness. Now look at Tosfos. Istanis anis is Tosfos v'iket tsa'ar, and if I don't wash, there is tsa'ar. It doesn't say choyli. Im lo ayo roichetz. Da'ino also lirchetz b'mei evlo elo mishum tainu. What is the reason for the pturis tainu? This is a Lomdisha Tosfos. This is a Reb Shimon Diker Tosfos. He's actually analyzing the reasons. Rav Haigman says you don't start with the reasons. The reason makes a difference what the reason is. There's an issue to wash, you're not allowed to wash. Ah, you'll get ill if you don't wash. Good, that's a Ptur of Refuah. That's the principle. But you can't start working out with the reasons. Tosfos doesn't. Tosfos starts and says the reason for the Gzeira, the reason not to wash, is because of Tainug, because Chazal felt it was not covered for the Ovil to have the pleasure to have the Tainug of washing. It could be the same. And if even to wash his hair, if he has an ibuvi in his head, if his hair is knotted or whatever it is, and he's very uncomfortable, shari afilu toch shiva, even during shiva is allowed to do it. V'chein hiti rabbeinu Shmuel yoledes avela liruchetz toch shiva, and therefore a yoledes who is an avelo during shiva, the rabbeinu Shmuel allowed her to wash. V'liruchetz nami b'tishabav, and even to take a bath on tishabav. Because it's not for the purpose of tainug, it's for the purpose of avoiding tsar. There's no din that an ovel must have tsar. There's no din on Tisha B'Av that you must be in tsar. There's a din that you mustn't act in tainug. But for an istinis, a bath is not tainug. A bath is simply the avoidance of tsar. That's the yesod of Tosfos. Just up to there for the moment. Do you see, is Tosfos the same as Rabbeinu Haigon or different? Completely different. We are not like this taste with Rabbeinu Haigon.
According to Rabbeinu Haigon,
If there's chili, if there's danger, then yes, al shufua she can. If she needs it for healing herself and so on, then she can. But if there's no refuah involved, she can't. According to Rav Haigon, according to Tosfos, as long as it's not washing of tainug. Now we use this enormously, particularly in the 9 days. Now you'll find in the 9 days, people use the 9 days sometimes as a heter to go around in a way which is makes their presence in close proximity unbearable. Why 9 days? You're not allowed to wash. There's no such thing in the 9 days. Even on Tisha B'Av, we're looking at, if the purpose of the washing is to clean yourself, not for tainug, of course you're allowed to. So you don't take a bath, fine. You don't stand under the shower for half an hour, fine. But to run the water and wash yourself limb by limb, where's the issue? According to Tosfos. According to Rav Haigon, yes, maybe there is an issue. But Shulchan Aruch fastens like Tosfos, not like Rav Haigon. We'll analyze that. That's what I would like you to prepare. Sorry? Yom Tov is a different halacha. the Yom Tov, the Isur has got nothing to do with Tzar or Tainug or anything altogether. There, it's the technical Isurim of washing. But Einachanam, if one can get around the problems of hot water and so on, and Schita and so on, one can also wash oneself Limba Lim on a Yom Tov. So if you'll have a look at the whole Mishnah, the first part of the Gemara, and come to this Tosfos and to the Rashbo, and look inside the Halacha, you'll see the whole sugya clarify itself.
Actually happened. Where it happened, how it happened, with whom it happened, he's not mefarish. We don't know. But when the Chayei Odom says Maaseh Rav, it means that it happened. What does he say? How? We'll see. I'm difficult to understand exactly how it happened, but what happens as follows. Gordel Echod Angid. A certain Gordel, a great Jew, left this world, was Nifta. He passed away. Veshoma Beveisdin Shalmala, and it was announced in the Beveisdin Shalmala, in the heavenly court, Koil Rash Gordel. There was the sound of great thunder. Ponu Mokum at Tzadik Echod. Make way for a certain Tzadik. The Gemara often uses this lotion, Ponu Mokum, when a Tzadik leaves this world and he comes to Olam Havo, that they say, make way, that they make place for him, that they come to meet him. Because a Tzadik, someone who's come from this Olam, and the Shoma that's being received, they say such a lotion, Ponu Mokum at Tzadik Echod. Shenifta, who's passed away. The Kiblu Bechovet Godel, and they accepted him and they received him with great kovet, with great honor. The Nosnu Le Sefer Torah, and now it explains the Din in the Shomayim, in the Beit Shomala, what actually happens. The Nosnu Le Sefer Torah of Israel, and they gave him a Sefer Torah to hold in his arm. The Sha'alu, and they asked him, the Beit Din Shomala, Kiyam Tamashe Kosel Bezeh, did you keep what was written in the Sefer Torah? The Omar Hain, and he said yes. Kiyam Ta Mitzvah Rishoina, Shehi Priya Ruvia, Puruvu, did you keep the first mitzvah in the Torah, which was to have children? Leila ha'nosva, not for your benefit, ela l'shem shamayim, but because of l'shem shamayim, v'omer hain. And he said, yes, I kept it. Omru, mi mei yidboch, they said, who will come and give evidence for you? Who will come forward to say that it's true that you did this? Uvo ha'malochim, shenivru'u abamit, mi mitzvus asher also. The malochim that were created by these mitzvahs which this person did came. Ad ein mispa, numberless malochim, numberless angels, vahi idu boy, and they came and gave evidence. This one said, I was created as a result of this mitzvah you did. V'chule. Acharkach heviu lefon of abatuim. Offers they brought abatuim v'shulchan oruch. V'sha'ul and I said to him, Kiyamta Torah? Shebal peh. Did you keep the Torah shebal peh? V'omer hain, he said, yes. U'mi meid, and who will give evidence? U'vo amalochim kanal. Mo malochim as above, came. And I gave. Achar zeh, sha'alu oftas, I said to him, Nizhata milohitzi shem shamayim levatola. Were you careful about not enunciating or not saying the name of the Almighty in vain? Were you careful not to do this, not to use the Almighty's name in vain? But you doing? And he kept quiet. Chosru v'sholu, they set him over again, they asked him again, Ishtik, and he kept quiet. V'loi omalei v'loi midi, didn't say anything. V'chizu achar eidus, and they asked for eidus, for eidim to come along to show that he wasn't careful. V'vo gedudi malochim levushim shoyim, and groups of angels, many groups getting dressed in black. They idu and they gave him and zeo imayani vreisi by your employee. This one said, I was created on such a day. Shohitzi as koreis kafu kafu. When he said such and such a thing, when he used Almighty's name, without being careful. Bitfila in tfila, belay kavona, because he davened without kavona. Vzeo imayar kach. And this one said such and such. He grew similar to some and they tore their garments. Kol ha-based in Shalmaila. The whole based in Shalmaila tore their garments. The gama ni karati, and I also tore my garments. Who's telling? I don't know. V'omru, and they said, Tipa Serucha, putrid drop, that's where you came from. Eich v'yireisa chule, how is it that you weren't frightened when you used the Almighty's name? How did you use the Almighty's name without being frightened? V'nigmar dinoi, and his judgment is completed, and the din was given. Oyla v'yla gihinam, oyla lachasoy lava b'gilgul. I have to go to gihinam, or to come back to this oylam. Achman l'itzvan b'gilgul, the form of another creation again, over again, another soul, another body. V'vocha b'gihinam, he chose rather gihinam. Rather to go to gihinam and to come back to gilgul. That's the lotion of that was the story. That's the Chayei Odom is saying. To bring and to understand over here, not davening with kavona is saying Hashem's name. It's a frightening thing when one thinks about it. One davens and says Hashem's name in davening how many times a day? To remember to say with kavona and so on and go on. I don't know how one Muslim one has to say that the person who's greater is judged kutasara, judged according to his level. We who are on such a lowly level in comparison, hopefully won't be judged as harshly, but we have to understand how important it is not to use Shem Shemayim Vatola. And that's Niyatzni, to create, to provoke a Kodesh Baruch, to create this task, because we use the Kodesh Baruch's name in vain, and we said brachas we shouldn't have said, and we said things we shouldn't have, without Kavanah and so on. Very, very important to remember. So, and other avaras of the Nun, Nidati Vloshidamti, for example, I made a neder and I didn't pay. A person has an aliyah at the Torah and he says, I'm going to pay you, or a person says, I'll give such and such, that it's a broch, he doesn't give it. It's I still remember, I'm not doing it. Another avara one has to give it. So Rarnu, we went astray. How does it say? When you went astray, what happens to Satim in Shema? If you go astray, what happens? You tend to worship other gods. Sur Meirah said to go away from people and do good. So Rarnu means to go off, to go away. So Rarnu means we went off the good path, we went off the path. That's self-explanatory. What does it mean? We caused our hearts to go away from worshipping Hashem, from worshipping Hashem. And as a result of it, from going away, one tends, unfortunately, as soon as one goes off the right path, one ends up in the thorns. If you go, what happens when you go away? Come to Avodah Zorah. It's difficult to understand, but that's if you don't keep Torah, you will end up doing, it's on the opposite. The next one is Avinu.
We have been perverse.
This is Avoin Hu Ha'oise Aveira B'meizid L'malos Tavoy. So this is a person who does Aveira B'meizid. He does knowingly what he's doing, but why? L'malos Tavoy. In order to fulfill his tithes. It's not as bad as a merit, which was above it. A person did something because he said, I don't believe it if I'm going to do it. He did it because of the fact that his Yetzer eventually got him to the stage where he couldn't help himself. He could help himself. He said, I'm going to do it. And he set out to do a wrong thing, and he did it. But because of his Yetzer, not because he didn't believe, he believed, and he had charot afterwards, but he did the wrong thing. That's a verse which are under Avinu.
How does it
depend from Zadnu? Zadnu is Mestoma, as his royal life. Evil people. They are the bad, wicked people. In other words, they themselves are wicked. Yet his Tivus, his Yetzer, which is causing him to do. He's not necessarily a wicked person. He can be a very good person. There's nobody who doesn't do that virus, and so. Person, unfortunately, is Yetzer Yetzer. He doesn't. It depends on each person, on each level, what that means. But I mean, the most terrible sins that a person can do, a person can get caught if he does true. But this is a case of a person doing something because his Yetzer got the better of him, and he did it in order to fulfill his evil inclination, to fulfill his tivus, his desires. He did this avera. That's called avinu, right? That's an offer. For shanu. The difference is Poshana Pesha Hukta Inyan Merit. It's like Merit, which we said above. Merit was a person of wealth, but the Yeshlamashi Yesh Shtay Moyudim, there are two kinds of Moyudim. Echad Shemamin Bashem Vatoira. One, he believes in Hashem, he believes in the Torah, but he still goes against, he still rebels. How does it sound like Poshana? We have to one thing. He still rebels. Why does he rebel? Because, right?